the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Last week we had the sad news of the passing of former Brighton player and Irish international Paul McCarthy. Now, tributes have been paid by the club and fans all week. And joining me in the studio now is Alan Wares, presenter of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb. Alan, this is, I suppose, very sudden news would be one way to describe it, isn't it?
Yeah, the news came across to us on the Monday morning. It was very sudden, certainly unexpected. You don't expect anyone to go, certainly not at that age. He's one of those footballers, the first generation of footballers is actually younger than me. From my point of view, I'm always 14 and every single footballer is 26. So they're always older than me. And this is one of the first ones that was younger than me. Very sudden, very unexpected. And yes, it was a terrible time for obviously his family, but you know the club and the wider community.
Yeah, he was only 45 when he passed away, and just kind of looking back at his bio during the week, he actually played football with Roy Keane when they were playing youth football back in Cork with Rockmount Football Club. And if you're from Cork, you will know that football club. It's a bit of a legendary football club. But yeah, it just goes to show really how young and how of this generation he is.
Well, the story seems to go that I think the Albion went over to that area to look out for who was about. I think we did a lot of scouting in the area in those days, and Roy Keane was one of those that we were looking out for.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly why we never ended up with Roy Keane. Certainly, and he ended up at Nottingham Forest, and good luck to him. We were in the bottom of the second division, top of the third division in those days. We ended up with Paul McCarthy. Obviously, getting Roy Keane would have been a real feather in our cap, bearing in mind the career he went on to have. But for us, Paul McCarthy was a perfectly decent substitute in that sense. Mm. We remember him as... Let me see if I can set this in context. We're talking about the early 90s here. The club was starting to get into free fall, even though it actually just reached the playoffs for the old second division to the old top division. I think the Premier League was about to come in. We'd made the playoffs. But you could still tell that there were not things where everyone was facing the same direction, the way they are now. You had local businessmen who were sometimes there for their ego, that old sheepskin coat, puffing on big cigar, that kind of aspirational local businessman, local boy done good sort of thing, that didn't necessarily have the nous to actually compete on the professional circuit. So, you know, 2 or 3 years after Paul McCarthy joined us, the club had to fight off a winding up on order from the Inland Revenue. It was not good times, and obviously through the 90s, the club carried on further into its decline. A shining light in the middle of all that was the likes of Paul McCarthy. He played alongside Steve Foster for a while as a centre-back, and Steve Foster is obviously a legend for the Albion. But what you got from Paul McCarthy is, remember when he first tumbled, this 19-year-old with his little curly hair and his rosy red cheeks, a big old unit, didn't know what he was going to be able to play like, but every single game, certainly from memory, and this is not rose-tinted spectacles, every single game you knew he was going to put in a bare minimum 7 out of 10. Now, when there was a game where everyone else was playing 8, 9 and 10, fine, great, but there were so many games where players were just not turning up. But with Paul McCarthy, you had this solidity, this tenacity, this desire to actually do well. He wasn't a dirty player. You couldn't really necessarily call him a culture player. For the time that he was with us, he was this fella who you knew was only always going to put in a shift for you and was appreciated very much by every single Albion fan that saw him.
I suppose that kind of makes sense, though, because he would have had a massive loyalty to Brighton, because that's where he started his career. He started as a trainee and had over 200 league and cup appearances. What were your kind of memories of him at the time, and what are they kind of now looking back in tribute to?
We always looked to, when you look for the team sheet to see who was going to be playing, you're always kind of happy that Paul McCarthy was playing. Even though he was a youngster, you knew he had some experience alongside him. So you were never really that worried. I mean, there might be the odd slip here and there. There might be the odd, but he did his job. So the point was that you knew that you were going to be in safe hands with him playing there. He didn't score that many goals. I think it was only about half a dozen. But there is one particular one that really stands out for the Brighton fans. We were home to Bournemouth. They were turning us over. It was 3-1 with about 5 minutes to go. But we're pressing forward. Ian Chapman scores a screamer into the top corner. It gets to the last minute. We're still piling forward. Shot comes in, gets saved, bounces up. There's Paul McCarthy. You think, what on earth is he doing in the penalty area? But he comes up there, nods the ball into the top corner. corner. North Stand goes mental. Paul McCartney absolutely loving it. These are the kinds of stories and memories that we cherish in the likes of him. The fact that he then, and I was talking to other friends about this afterwards, there's people I know who weren't Brighton fans at the time who've since become Brighton fans. They don't remember Paul McCartney as a Brighton player. He went on to Wycombe Wanderers afterwards, and he achieved some more success there. He played in their side that got to the 2001 FA Cup semi-final, so he's a hero in Wycombe. Further on down the line, he went to Ebbsfleet. He was their captain, lifting the Football League trophy there. So he was appreciated wherever it was he went.
Mm. And you mentioned him scoring goals. He did score a goal for Ireland in the... In the 1991 FIFA World Youth Championship. He scored against Portugal.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so he did.
So he'd have probably played, hang on, let's see if I can get my things here. So he'd have played against the likes of Futre, maybe, or probably a bit early for Figo, but there'd have probably been some decent players that he'd have been playing
definitely.
Against.
Definitely. Back in 91, it would be kind of, I suppose. A lot of the players in the later half of the 90s would have been starting off then and playing
absolutely.
For new teams.
It's possible he'd have played against Figo that day. I'm just thinking about it. If he was born in the early 70s, that's a hell of a team to have scored against.
definitely. I think it was his only goal for Ireland in international sense.
I don't think he made it to the full side, did he? Although there was talk of him getting to Ireland into the Ireland team for the World Cup in 94, because I think the centre-back line for Ireland was actually sort of positively creaking. I think it had the likes of Mick McCarthy was in there. I think maybe even
Paul McGrath was there.
Paul McGrath and David O'Leary, who probably combined ages. It was basically the last of the summer wine was the back line. And obviously they did very well in the USA, but I think Paul McCarthy was certainly there or thereabouts in the reckoning. So he was obviously highly considered within the Irish Football Association.
I think it was a tough time for any Irish player to get into any team back then, because, back in the 90s, it was back in the early 90s, certainly, there was great, great players for Ireland.
The great thing that any football statistician, any Stato, any Anorak would ever know is that they would know the nationality of every single Irish player in that World Cup squad.
Yeah, that's true. So there's quite a few. What have kind of fans' memories been of Paul in the last week? How have they been reacting to his
death? With great sadness. The notion that obviously there's the point that he's 45, far too young. He was still doing bits and pieces within football. He was up in Crowborough, so he'd stuck around in Sussex. It's one of great sadness, but of great fondness for the player that they appreciated, that he was a good player that gave his all at the time when the club was really actually on its own nosedive. We loved him, we appreciated what he did, and the fans gave him, I think, the appropriate minutes applause at the recent game against Reading.
Perfect, Dan. Listen, thanks very much for coming in and sharing your memories and your stories of Paul McCartney. If you are a Brighton and Hove Albion fan, then you can catch Alan and AD as well on the Albion Roar Saturdays at 12 noon on Reverb, and also the podcast as well. Where can you find the podcast?
You'll find the podcast on we've got our own website, Albion Roar. That's ROAR, albionroar.co.uk. You can find us on iTunes, so search out Albion Roar and subscribe to our podcast. That will come down the line to you, and any other podcast platforms that you'll find us. Yes,
perfect, thank you.
What's the Crack with Anthony Martin on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.